I don't know about you, like when Johnny pulled us back together to focus on Jesus, I need that some of the time. Do you ever feel in worship you get distracted? Like, I got distracted this morning. One moment I thought, have I brought my notes with me? So I'm rummaging through the back. Yeah, that was all right. And there was something else cropped in my head. You know, fire, something singing about fire. And I'm thinking, it is so hot, you know. All these little things distract us. But God knows, right? We're human and we get distracted and all sorts of things go on. But it's great to pull us back together and the focus is Jesus. So that's all good. And I hope you've enjoyed this series on justice. I thought it's been amazing, really. I think it's more than just a series. I think this will shape us as a church in Bognor, Haven and Chichester, not just in the coming months, but much, much longer than that. That's what I believe God's put on my heart, because it's such a big subject. And we've covered some really meaty subjects that need addressing in different ways. And it's so good, isn't it, to see a video like Anna on the video there, and other people have done some amazing... You look and you think, wow, I didn't realise they was doing these things, serving the community, making a difference in the community that they live in. And so that's a great joy to see that. And the Anna's video this morning on options, some of those statistics are quite frightening, really. One in three women have had an abortion, and, you know, the one in four miscarriages, and you may be more aware than I, but I just found them quite, well, just very heartbreaking, really, that people, women, are going through stuff like that. So, you know, we thank God for people like Anna and others in different spheres doing different things. So I just think it's helpful as we start off this morning in the last... right, that's a good start, right? Let's see what happens when I do that. Okay, good. The trouble is I'll keep turning around because I don't have the confidence. But anyway, we'll get there. As we go through this series on justice, I just think it's helpful to continue to remind ourselves that our doing justice, whether that's speaking out for the least, the last and the lost, helping the widow, the orphan, the poor or the immigrant, serving at Little Bears, going into Ford prison or supporting Compassion Children or the fostering, adopting. We saw that video, didn't we, a few weeks back. And many other ways, you know, stuff that Anna's doing. It's only really possible, it only really bears much fruit if it's motivated out of our love for Jesus, out of motivation, out of knowing the grace of God in our lives. We've received so much from Jesus that equips us, enables us to pour out of that resource that he's put within us. We've experienced him and his grace, and from that position, we can bear fruit, much fruit, in a broken world, effectively. And so we've looked at the principles of justice and how that's on God's heart over the weeks. I think we've done 4 or 5 weeks on it. And it's much more than just retributive justice, condemning the wrong. It's so much more than that. It's about restoring those who've been wronged, restorative justice. And we're to care for the poor, the orphan, the widow, and the refugee. And it's out of those riches that we do what we do. That people like Anna do what they do. So it's really important we tackle the topic today of justice in the public square. And what that really means is how we engage with society and culture and how we aim to appeal for change in our world and in our society. And how we stand up for the marginalised, for the whole communities that are mistreated. And we know this happens, and it happens in the public place, as it were, in the public square. And we'll look at the specifics a bit later, but it's important to recognise that we live in a world which is now called a post-Christian world, where there are remnants of Christian thinking. There's a little bit of, still, there's some Christian values in the world somewhere a little bit, but it's a remnant, really. And we're living in a world that operates on very different principles to the ones that we see in the Bible, Christian principles. And some might say, well, it's not the job of the church to change society. Let's just build up the church, evangelize, make disciples. That's our job. Don't worry about all the other stuff where it's all going wrong. And of course, we need to be doing that 100%, making disciples, telling people about Jesus. And others might say the church and Christians should make society the way it should be. You know, run on Christian values, run on Christian principles. The trouble with that is we can't change hearts. You can change legislation, but it doesn't change hearts. You can change the rules, move the goalposts to some extent, but it doesn't change what is in someone's heart. The gospel says, I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that changes you. Is that your experience? When you became a Christian, suddenly everything was different. Now, you may have become a Christian when you was a little person, a youngster, a child. But there is a moment when you think, yeah, I'm changed. I'm not totally changed, but I'm being changed. My heart is different. And so to expect non-Christians, those who don't know Jesus, to live according to what the Bible says is just not going to happen. It doesn't work like that. But there is another way. There's a third way as we get alongside people, as we get involved like Anna and others have done so. So we move on to the last in the series. And I feel like this series is really a bit of a defining moment for Grace Church. A prophetic moment for the church. And I believe that's how we respond, how we're going to respond to this call of justice will define how we go about mission, how we go about caring for people. And this will affect the pools we fish in. Now, I'm not opposed to having a big, fun day for the community. That's all good. That's brilliant. And we gather people in, that type of thing. Alpha, of course, brilliant way of gathering people in. But I do believe as we engage in these areas of justice, it creates a new pool to fish in, just as we've seen in Bognor. And there's probably people in this room, so I only come here once in a while, but there's probably people in this room today who have come along because of Little Bears reaching into the community, serving the community, and it gives us another pool to fish in. And we want a phrase that right at the beginning when Joe kicked off the series was, we want to give people bread, but we want to offer them the bread of life. And if they don't want the bread of life, that's fine. We're still going to give them bread, but we want to give them the bread of life as well. And as we've said most weeks through this series, or the odd times I've had an opportunity to speak, I've said it anyway, every person is made in the image of God, Genesis 1:27, and therefore has intrinsic value, is valued before God. And when we ignore the plight of the downtrodden, we sin against God and we sin against that individual. Psalm 145 says, God loves all that he has made. We also should recognise and honour the fact that as each person reflects the image of God, there will be good things about that person. They have the possibility to display something of the kindness and compassion of God. And I think that's quite helpful. Because I remember a little while back, a couple of years back, I saw an organisation doing some amazing things in London. It was on the television and stuff like that. And I thought, why are they doing all that? They're not. It's not a Christian organisation. But we don't have all the answers all the time. There's lots of great organisations and individuals who are doing great things in areas of justice and kindness. It's just that they don't have the opportunity to offer the bread of life, which we do. So sometimes working alongside these organisations can be really helpful. We can work with them. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. It has value in and of itself because we are serving people and they're made in God's image. If we're in the mix, we can bring a godly influence. When we've proven our investment, when we've spent time, they know we're in for the long haul, we can affect change. We can stand up. We can be winsome in our attitude and in our heart. We can show integrity. And with great, with real humility, we can say, what about this way? What about this way? Introducing Jesus into the subject where we can. So recognizing all of this, how do we act justly, implement justice, petition for justice in the public square? So let's read some verses in the Bible. This is what Jeremiah 29:4-7 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So today the subject is biblical justice in the public square. And I've got 3 points. So it'll help you stay focused. It'll help you realise when we've got past point two, we're well on the way on the home stretch. Just it helps, doesn't it? Right? If you get distracted, which is a possibility. So the first point is a people of place. God's people were exiles in Babylon from these verses. A godless place. And we likewise are in exile. We're in this world and not of this world. You've probably heard that phrase from the Bible. Our destination is with God. Paul says this, our citizenship is in heaven. So if it was true for God's exiles in Babylon to seek the good of the city, how much more for us in this crooked generation that we're a part of? We should do the ordinary things. Live with the people where God has placed us. Sometimes we can be over-familiar with our location, where we live, where we work, where we go to school, the school gate and all those sort of things. But God places us where we live. You're not where you are by accident. God has placed you in your school, your workplace, your environment, getting to the school gate, your places of influence. He's placed you there. And we're to seek the welfare of our city or our town or our village, wherever we come from, basically to influence our society. And obviously the biggest need anyone has in our world, in our neighbours or anyone else, the biggest need is that they know Jesus, to know God, to know his love and to know his forgiveness. But also the welfare of the day-to-day existence where people live their lives is also really, really important. It matters to God. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 23, verse 39. He says, love your neighbour as yourself. It's a verse that's come out a few times over the course of this series. So to love your neighbour is to love ourselves. The city's welfare is our welfare. It affects us. We're not to hide off in our little enclave, just protecting what we've got. We're to be part of what's going on. And my hope is that as exiles, you and I, as exiles, it's probably not a phrase we go into the office tomorrow morning and say, I'm an exile in this place. They all think, oh, a bit odd. Might not be the best thing to say, but that's what we are. We're exiles in this place. And as local people, it's our desire to take action and to care about the people of where we live, where we work, where we engage with people. In a way that we engage with them in a way they look on our lives and go, I want what you've got. A bit like, where was this morning, the lady who came up, Mary, brought her word. It's like, this is what it's about, you know, showing the love of Jesus and people going, I want some of what you've got. This is amazing. Verse 7 says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. And then it says, pray to the Lord for it. So the second point is this, for if it prospers, finish the verse off, it says, for if it prospers you too will prosper. So pray to the Lord for it. For if it prospers, you too will prosper. So we're to be a people of prayer. Now here really is the biggest freebie for anyone preaching this Sunday anywhere or a week before. And you remember 10 days, 12 days, whenever it was, when Boris Johnson where he stepped down from leading the nation and the cabinet sort of, you know, I don't know, 50-odd people resigned, didn't they, over the course of 24 hours or whatever it was. And you're probably aware of this, but this was the day, on the Tuesday was the day they had a prayer meeting in the Houses of Parliament, like they have this prayer meeting quite regularly. And on that day, Mr. Javid, he attended that prayer meeting and listened to the sermon being preached. And these are his words from a man who, as far as I'm aware, doesn't know Jesus. And he just said, I just thought it's about integrity. So he resigned. I don't need to go into the life of Boris. It's all plain to see about integrity. So we don't need to touch on that. But the point being there's a prayer meeting going on that day, that morning, when the government is thrown into a bit of chaos. And Integrity, there was one of the other people who were running to be the prime minister, said, "It's about truth, and truth will set you free." Which I imagine that lady, Kemi is her name, is a Christian. But there's a sense of a change. We're praying for change, right? And this is why we need to be a people of prayer, because prayer changes things. So that Tuesday morning, the prayer meeting goes on, and now there's a change. And we need to continue to change for continual change. Continual change that brings in justice, that brings in integrity, that stands up for the marginalised and the minorities, stands up for those who are downtrodden. So prayer is really important on a national level, on an international level, but also on a local level. And it wasn't all about that one prayer meeting. It says to pray for your leaders, and churches and Christians right across the nation have been praying for the government, because we're called to do so. It matters. Christians pray, the leaders fall, and others are stepping up saying amazing things about integrity and truth. And we must carry on doing that. So from this passage, we can conclude that we are to get involved and pray. I asked the question, how do we seek justice in the public square? And I've answered it in part by, we're going to pray, and we continue to pray. There's more, though. There's much more than that. How do we exercise justice, defending and advocating for those who cannot speak for themselves? The public square would refer to issues of misrepresentation of particular groups, the ill treatment of groups of people, events that occur that need to be challenged, and the misuse of power and privilege. And at this point, we can easily think, and I can easily fall into this trap, well, I'm not a politician, that's far too big, it's not for me to get involved. I can't get involved, I don't know how to get involved. Maybe I don't have the inclination. It all seems too big, too vast. So where do I start? And in part, this series that we're engaged with at the moment on justice was born out of recent events over the last couple of years. Now there's a stirring in the hearts of men and women of God in this church. You know, the events, the murder of George Floyd sparked international condemnation of any form of racism, rightly so. And it's events like that, you think, what is on God's heart? And it is on God's heart for justice. And, you know, we can't really move on without mentioning, you know, the Roe versus Wade issue. Anna's shared what they're doing in options, and it is amazing, all those hours and hours of counselling and supporting and standing in the gap for people in a moment when they're in crisis. And the Roe versus Wade issue, the overturning of abortion as a right, and as I said, we absolutely support Anna with all that she's doing and the care and offer they support, full of grace, full of kindness, full of mercy towards mostly women, but they even said, you know, with partnerships as well. Standing in the gap, standing supporting people in frightening and so difficult circumstances. It's hard for me to stand here and express, I can't understand that fully, but you watch that video and you imagine, so grateful for people like Anna stepping in the gap. And as a church, we have to be clear, abortion is heartbreaking. Each baby is made in the image of God. And if we believe that, which I do, and I'm sure you probably do too, this is probably the biggest injustice of the day, of our day. But it's not enough for the church to just say this. We need, it's more than that, isn't it? It's how do we care for mothers, new mothers? You know, we promoted home for good, really, you know, fostering and adopting. And, you know, it's part of the heart of Grace Church, is a groundswell of people looking to foster and adopt and support those who are fostering and adopting. So it's a key issue, and it's not enough to just put up a placard and say what we believe. We have to get involved. We have to take part. What can we do? How can we serve? How can we support? And just to sort of, I suppose, encapsulated for me this whole arena of abortion, a story that I heard of a woman who drank bleach to abort her baby. And it's difficult to grasp how desperate and unhappy, and I mean unhappy is not a strong enough word, is it, to be in that position to do that because she was so desperate. There are other issues of the day. The care of children. There's an organisation called Save Families that is a Christian organisation that works to serve the children who are in care or on the verge of going into care. Care for the Family, another Christian charity that's working hard to support families and children who are in difficult positions. You know, obviously the whole issue of race is so important, and these things are not going away, and we need to be people who stand in the gap for others. Teenagers leaving the care system, which is, you know, you think, oh, they're 18, they can now survive, you know, but they've struggled for a long time. They've not had a good start in life often. Teenagers leaving the care system, their chances of staying out of the prison system are not good. 50% of under 21s in contact with the criminal justice system have spent time in care. That's quite a high statistic. International slavery. It's incredibly huge. 40 million people across the world are in slavery. It's frightening, really. Human trafficking generates $150 billion a year. One in four victims of forced slave labour is a child. And there's an organisation called International Justice Mission, another Christian organisation. And they've rescued over 76,000 people from all types of slavery. They're doing the work. This is on the biggest scale, right? It's difficult for us to, where do I fit into this? But there are people like who are working for organisations like this who are saying, this is what I'm giving my life to. There are lawyers, there are social workers, there are all sorts of people working together to release people who are caught up, trafficked, kids working 16 hours a day, making in a brick kiln, you know, 8-10 years of age, and they're releasing people. Go on IJM, go on their website, have a look. It's amazing what they're doing. It will encourage you of wonderful stories of men and women of God doing amazing things. And the great news is the gospel transforms our hearts to be a people who can make a difference. And so there's lots of stories there, and you've probably got your own, and you know of other charities that are doing amazing things, which is great. But also, really, what I want to do is I want to get to Jesus, because he's the one who transforms our hearts to enable us to go and do acts of kindness and acts of mercy. And, you know, because I'm not a politician, you'll be surprised to hear, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really go and work for IJM in that sense. But I can and want to be like Jesus in my public square, where I can play a part, where I can influence. Whatever that looks like, and also don't want to limit God. Because God can use unlikely people. He can do it through people like you and me. And I found it interesting last week when Guy Miller was here, right? He was in here, wasn't he? It was last week, wasn't it? And he said this. He said, God will do it as you do it together. And there's what is on the agenda, God's agenda for us in Bognor. There's something about the body of Christ when we do things together. Even with the stories we've heard, they're telling their story so we can get involved, so we can pray. We have a list to pray for Anna and options. We can get involved. And there was another word I heard, a prophetic word, about 3 or 4 months ago. I was at a commission event. Anyway, the word was this: look out for the unlikely amongst you. And I just thought, that is so encouraging. God wants to use each and every one of us. In John 4, 8 to 26, Jesus speaks with the Samaritan woman at the well. He's speaking to the woman who firstly was an outcast of a different religion and a woman of that day. Jesus shouldn't have been speaking to her. Jesus did many things in this event. You probably know the story, but have a little read of it. Not least to confront the society and the culture. He tackled prejudice, sexism, and racism, amongst other things. in that story. They're all there. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Let's read that. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give it light to everything in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Third and final point, a people of purpose. We have a call on our lives to be different. We live in a pretty brutal world, one in which the lost, the last and the least are treated badly, where the orphan, the widow, the poor and the refugee are very disadvantaged, where the marginalised have no voice, and we're called to act justly, specifically towards these people. And salt is there to preserve. We can make a difference. We're salt and light. We should make a difference. Salt is there to prevent decay. And are there areas in your public square that you can stop the rot? This doesn't mean arguing, reminding your peers of what Christians disagree with, what we don't like, but lovingly walking alongside others with humility, offering a better way, because there is a better way, and that's the Jesus way. I don't think we really win hearts by arguments. You may have been on Alpha, you may have been on Alpha loads of times, and the best Alpha courses are where you win hearts, not arguments. We never really get anywhere. You walk away, "Oh, I really smashed it that time. I proved science wrong once and for all." We don't really win hearts that way. It's with humility. It just inflates our pride, really. Some issues will inevitably be running against the tide. That's what's going to happen because we're following Jesus. And we need to be ready to count the cost of following Jesus. But as we lay down our life, we gain it. And those verses says, we're the light of the world. We're to push back darkness. We're far more powerful than we think we are. We've got the Holy Spirit. This Christian life was not meant to be easy. No one said it would. The Bible does not say it's going to be easy. It was not meant to be. And this doesn't take place, you know, this public square stuff when we are pushing back a little bit by a nice little retweet here and there. It doesn't really change stuff like that. But it's worth the effort because we have the Holy Spirit within us who will equip us and help us. And the more you walk with Jesus, the more we know we're doing the work of God, stopping the decay around us. Let's not ignore the warning also in these verses. It says, if the salt loses its saltiness, we are stepping away from the things of God, the call of God on our lives, the call of God over Grace Church to stop the decay and darkness in our society. The church and following Jesus is so much more, isn't it, than getting good teaching on a Sunday, having good worship, and feeling good about ourselves. It's so much more. It's about getting stuck in. It's about getting our hands dirty in society. A church fully committed to Jesus will make a massive contribution to society. It does great things. It's already happening. Things like food bank and fostering, Little Bears, stuff like that. We are having an impact. What can we do? Is there more? Are there things that God is calling us to in Bognor? And there's also this safe space of recognising that we may have been wronged or made wrong decisions. Our lives are broken, but Jesus heals the broken and the brokenhearted. And we can't mess up too much for God, whatever that looks like. And grace abounds all the more. And grace abounds in this place. And I want you to know that you can get help in this family, in this church. And you can get help from God for restoration. Because some of the things that Anna talked about and some of the things when I touched on it may have affected you. But God's grace is more than sufficient for you. That's the brilliant thing of knowing God. We come as we are, but we don't stay the same. There's no guilt and shame before Jesus. He's for us. He loves us. So the public square, we're just coming to land now, is by definition public. And therefore, we need discernment. We need wisdom. We need maturity. And we need to pray. And we need to seek counsel of other wise men and women around us. Because, you know, people like, someone like Jackie Pullinger, if you've been around a long time or you've done Alpha, because there's a video on it, would know, went to Hong Kong and did amazing things. And there might be one or two amongst us who do something quite incredible like that. But there's something for all of us to play a part. But sometimes when we're pushing back against society, we need to know this is what God has called us to do. So we talk it through with others. And we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who will help us and guide us and cause us to be the people who know the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which will enable us to be bold when we need to be bold. It will help us with kindness when we need to be kind, to be winsome, to win people all of the time. Salt seasoned with grace. So I think our response, obviously, is to pray. I think it's to explore, to read up on local stuff, to find out what's happening nationally, to look at international causes. Like, I would recommend IJM, have a look at that website and just see what's going on. It will lead you to pray from time to time for people doing amazing things and getting behind them in prayer. Because we want to stand up for the least, the last and the lost. That's what justice is about, isn't it? So we want to do that. And as we come to the end of this series on justice, I think it's important that we take a considered approach. I don't think it's the sort of thing, put your hand up if you want to go to the other side of the world. You know, some of us might like that, actually. But you know what I mean? It's not an immediate knee-jerk response. It's something that we should consider prayerfully before God and take our time, because we want to be in this for the long haul as we seek to do justice and do what God has called us to do, because it might be costly. So what I'd love us to do, I just would like to pray. You can stay seated, but I'm going to pray. We said we'd pray, you know, I said, let's pray for the government. And I'm going to pray for the government, but I'm going to pray for us, that God comes and speaks to us. And this series stays alive with us, that I'm going to be someone who does, I'm going to exercise justice the way God wants me to do in the world that I'm living in. So I'll just pray. Father, thank you that you love the least, the last, and the lost. Lord, thank you that you sent someone to tell me and to tell us about you, Jesus. And you have a heart of compassion and love for the lost. Lord, you've made us. We're made in your image. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us here at the Bognor site to know what you're calling us to do. Lord, you'd stir our hearts. Lord, we don't want to be shamed into anything. We want to do what you call us to do. So come and speak to us and stir our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we stand together and pray for our government. Lord, thank you for your intervention. And Lord, we pray this will be a turning point in our nation. Lord, a turning point towards you. Lord, there will be breakthrough moments. And Lord, I pray for integrity and for truth to come through more and more. And that the marginalised and those who are downtrodden, those who are treated badly, that would begin to change across our nation. And Lord, I pray that there will be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that's what we desire, that there will be transformation of hearts, that men and women right across this nation would turn to you and we would see a great revival across our nation. We ask it for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen.